Blog Talk Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Good evening, listeners. Thanks for tuning in to the Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio Show. It's May 26, 2013, and we're broadcasting live from Seattle, Washington. We've got a great show ahead of us today. We have three guests on the slate for us, but before we get started with the show, I'd like to bring on my brother in martial arts, Robert Stevens. Stevens Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. You know, the weather in L.A., it's not getting hot yet. It's just nice and comfortable. Blue skies, 65, 70 degrees. Absolutely gorgeous. My son graduated high school this week. My daughter got out of the ninth grade. She's going into 10th next year. They're wonderful times. I do have some gripes tonight.
Uh-oh.
I do have some gripes.
What are we griping about?
Well, you know, you and I love Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
You're the only one I know of that carries like 5 gift cards in your wallet at one time.
I finally put them all into one gift card on one of those Android apps, so that way I don't have to like walk around with all of them.
Oh, nice. Well, you know, on Sundays, we do this every week. I love doing the show, but just talking to you every week, I need my coffee.
Mm-hmm.
I just need
just
it.
Just to keep up with me, or how does that work?
Just to keep
or is
up
that
with
I'm
you.
Too boring? Oh, okay.
I used to go in there, and they used to charge me 50 cents for refill because I'd go in the morning and I'd go in at night. Well, they've always had a policy, and now they're enforcing it, where you can stay in there and shop. You can get your coffee, stay in there and shop, go back and get a refill. But once you cross the threshold of the automatic door to leave, no more refills.
What?
I verified that tonight, and I said, yeah, and I said, I'm not paying for 2 cups of coffee in one day.
Unfair.
I said, even Denny gives free refills.
yeah, but that's Denny's, right?
I know, exactly. But then there's Starbucks. Like even 7-Eleven coffee is starting to get as expensive as Starbucks. It's getting ridiculous. You know, I remember, and possibly you do, too, when coffee was a dime.
Mm-hmm, I remember that.
10 cents. And, I got one more. I'm sorry to say, I got one more. Your buddy up in Seattle, one of the richest men in the world, Paul Allen, has the largest yacht in the world, a helicopter pad, the whole bit. He owns my cable company, Charter.
Oh, Charter cable, okay.
I was running late on Charter, so I dropped the bill off yesterday in their mail slot because it was late and they were closed. Mm-hmm. I wake up this morning, I have no cable, no internet. I call him up and say, well, you're one day past the maximum, you're allowed. I said, well, you know what? I got kids. You know, I was sort of fibbing. I said, you know, they've got finals coming up, research. Well, she said, there's nothing I can do. Your cable's going to stay off until your payment gets posted. And I'm thinking,
man.
I almost lost it. I was like, this guy has like $30 billion in the bank, liquid. Will $160 really matter that much? And I said, you know what, I want your name. Oh, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was not like I owed him like 5 months. I owed him a month. And I said, okay, I want your name and I want your employee ID. I said, because when they ask me why I'm dropping Charter and switching over to like Verizon or Direct or one of those guys, I want to tell them because I think your customer service just sucks.
No, man. That's
and there
so
is my griping for the week.
So you're without internet and cable.
And cable.
What
so
are
my
the kids going to do? They're probably going to be hanging out with friends and junk like that to play games.
Well, they're
stuff,
already
right?
going nuts because they're on the computer all day or they're on Netflix hooked up to the TV. They're already going nuts. They think it's archaic to plug in a DVD.
Oh, gosh.
And, of course, this happens on a holiday weekend. So So tomorrow
doesn't
even count.
Yeah. And speaking of the holiday, big salute to those that have fallen in combat for the USA. This is what this holiday is all about. It's not about the barbecues and stuff like that, you know. So, you know, take a minute, everyone, and explain to your kids why we have Memorial Day instead of calling it like Hot Dog and Hamburger Day. So, you've been, like, most kids just think Memorial Day is like no school. That's
right.
It, right? So,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, okay, so real quick, we have someone calling on the line already. So we've got area code 713, area code 713. Welcome to the Dynamic Dojo.
How are you? This is Professor Gary Lee with the Sport Karate Museum.
Hi, how are you?
Aloha, how are you?
Aloha, really good,
now,
really good.
Who am I talking, who is the other gentleman you're talking to? I just picked up.
That's Sifu Robert Deal. He's my co-host.
Oh, Robert. How you doing, Robert?
I'm good. How you doing, sir? It's been a while. I think it's been a couple
years.
Yes,
sir. It sure has. I go to your Facebook page all the time, try to keep up with you. And, I'm really proud of what you guys are doing. But, and the lady I'm talking to, and what's your name?
I'm Restita.
Hi. How are you?
Hi. I'm great. Awesome. Thanks for calling.
You know, I'm calling because I didn't know I could call in on a Sunday evening, but I saw that Robert Lobe would be talking tonight.
Yes. We're going to be calling him in just a little bit.
And Abundio Bundinez?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll be having... I've watched those two incredible champions grow up before my eyes since I came to Texas. So I'd like to call them a little bit later and congratulate them. How long is the show going to be on?
Well, we've got a two-hour window. We're going to have Mr. Lobe on here. We're going to be calling him right after we talk to you. We're going to call him, and we'll have him on for approximately half hour. And then we'll be calling another gentleman, Master David Morizot. And then we'll be calling Abundio for the third segment. So there'll be
Can I do a plug on both of them real quick before
you
actually talk to them?
You bet, absolutely.
Okay, well, first let me talk about Abundio. He was incredible. He was under people like Steve Powell and some other incredible people in the early days. As a child growing up in Texas, it was pretty tough, and he was under incredible standards as far as competing in sport karate. He was also a recipient of the Greek Award, and that's the most prestigious award in Texas. It took me 17 years to win it. But Abundio is a tremendous fighter, and he has a beautiful school, and he's just one of these real Texas animals that deserves this recognition with Mr. Deal and Mr. Heck and, everybody, Mr. Dye. I can't really speak a lot about Abundio except for I can say that he was one of probably the best junior fighters that I've ever seen or witnessed, like Rooster Mackin, who you've already talked to, I believe,
We were supposed to have him on. We had him slated, hopefully, for tonight, and I tried to get a hold of him several times via email, and I didn't get any response. So what I'm going
to
do
him.
Is
I can call him to call you. Hey, no problem. That's no problem. Rooster is another one of these juniors who grew up, I tell you a really neat story. I used to do the shows. And Rooster would come and drive from Austin and do all the shows with me. He opened up my first show with Six Flags. But let's go back to Bear Lobe.
Okay,
doing karate since he was 5 years old, and I've known him since he was 5 years old and watched him grow into a tremendous champion of martial arts. I got to judge him last night as a center referee for traditional kata, and I think he lost by 1/10 of a point. But he's got like 18 or 19 world championships, but who's counting? He's one of these guys that really, is incredible. He's won world titles in golly bum, and traditional and creative and Korean and Japanese and continuous fighting. He's also the creator with some incredible group of producers and promoters from Louisiana and Texas of the skill championships that leads people to the super grands every year. He's the king of that. And together, we created a something pretty cool. I did something called the Back Alley Bash for black belts, and it's turned into the Undisputed Division. And the Undisputed Division is for black belts to enter, and there's a cash award. But basically, it tells you who's the best. I run a group down here for the past few years called the Top Texas 10 Black Belt Ratings, and I rate all the black belts, women, children, adult black belts, light and heavy. And it's an amazing journey to rate black belts, but together with the skill championships and the Texas games and what Bear has produced with his vision of becoming a new super producer. And I, you know me, I've been around for a long time, right, Robert? I mean, I'm not going to say anything about sport karate unless it's absolutely true. And there's hundreds of tournaments, but in Houston, Bear Lobby has become the super producer. He really has. Mm-hmm. And he's taken the vision of Boyce Liddell, who created the National Black Belt League, and he's brought it to Texas. That's really what it comes down to. And Texas is ready. We have 7 or 8 MBL events. Of course, we're brother or sister with Louisiana now. We represent them. And the Bear is really the glue, the Elmer's glue that put all this together.
Nice.
Very cool.
Really. And, you know, he's only 30. I keep getting messed up with his age because I still think of him as a young man. But he's 32 or 33 now, I believe.
Wow,
and
that's a lot of accomplishments. I'm looking at his bio right now.
Yeah, I mean, 25 years, you know. And so a lot of people don't realize that what's going on in Texas, and he's really stirring it up. I mean, the greatest state championship after the domination of the American Organization of Karate for 35 years, to create another state championship, that takes a lot of vision, and that's what he's done. I really can't speak high enough about him. I love the kid. He's not a kid anymore, but he's really the future of sport karate here in Houston and Texas.
Right on.
And what he's done with the skill games. So I'm darn proud of him. But that's the reason I called, and I'll call back later. But before I go, can I plug my event in October?
Sure.
Super.
Please
thank
do.
You guys so much. I appreciate, you know, Dan and all those guys so much. Here we go. Wow, I don't know how much you know about it, but, you know, I've worked 13 years at Create the Sport Karate Museum, and people are listening. They can go to sportkaratemuseum.org. I had a long line of museum from the very beginning of the Internet. But now I have a physical building. It's beautiful. It's at 3222 Burke Road, Pasadena, Texas. And October 3rd, I'm having the official grand opening with special guests like John Morris and Tori Dorsey, Jim Harrison. We're having a black belt test. What's really cool is that it's going to be open tours for everyone to come in and actually see what I've done. I've got actually 20 rooms, and I've already filled up 5. And House of Okinawa, House of Japan, House of Korea, House of China, House of America, of course. And then on Friday, we're going through the Hilton Southwest, my base hotel. I've done all my Living Legends events at. And we're hosting the Texas Martial Arts Hall of Fame. And together with the board of people like David Castor and Scott Castor, who are the sons of the legendary Larry Castor, they've taken over the Texas Marshals Hall of Fame, and they want to put the pioneers in first. And the people who are inducted is an incredible group: Linda Denley, Jeff Smith, Jim Buten, Jonapat Worley, Larry Carnahan, Phil Wyman, just an incredible group. So that's going to be Friday night. And it's free for everyone, and we're going to have a big VIP roadhouse party for everybody. Saturday, we're in conjunction with a NBL regional event put on by another young man that's grown up before my eyes. His name is Ramon Paul. And if people don't want to go to the tournament, they can stay at the hotel. We have a big expo. We have seminars with Troy Dorsey, Jim Harrison, incredible group of people who are passing on the knowledge. Alfredo Bustamante, the number one Japanese kata competitor in Texas right now. And world champion John Morris. And Saturday night, we're roasting our 20th anniversary roast of Scott Messina. Scott Messina is a dual Joel as far as a competitor. He is a professional black belt, owns the Huntsville School of Karate, been around forever. Robert, I don't know if you remember Ernie Radar Smith, but he was a black belt under him. And he's also, Ernie passed away a few years ago with leukemia. But Scotty is amazing. He's a professional bull rider, guys. You know, he's a clown. He's a guy that gets in the barrel and lets you know, the bull hit him instead of the bull riders. He's really a hero. And that's the theme of this year, because last year, you know, I did the gathering, I honored the karate fighters. This year, I wanted to honor somebody really special. And even though Scotty's not a policeman or fireman, we're going to be honoring 50 first responders who are black belts. The museum is, the Sport Karate Museum is going to honor 50. Mm-hmm. And this includes incredible people like Danny Lane, Ed Daniel, Jim Harrison, Richard Morris, Kurt Brannon, Jamie Cashin, who's, you know, was a firefighter. His cousin, Mark Crawford, and Jamie are the special guest speakers, along with Judge Roy Kirbin, who was a SWAT member. He's a judge. He also invented the two-point kick, guys, with the Fort Worth Pro-Am, so he's incredible. Mm. Deputy Chief Mike McNamara will be also a special guest for this 20th anniversary of Legends and the honoring of the first responders. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I sure appreciate you letting me talk about it to the fans of your radio show.
Oh, you bet.
Not
sounds
a problem.
Like
fun. It's going to be a great event. Yeah, absolutely does.
Well,
yeah.
You know, I'd like to do this for your listeners, because your listeners have listened to me a few times talking to Danny and Eddie. But for anyone that wants to watch the black belt test of Dan Anderson for his ninth degree black belt, they can go to YouTube and just type in Grandmaster's Black Belt Test, and they can watch in duration, uncut, unedited, the full test of eight guys going up for high Don rank, and also a young man who was a black belt and brave enough to test for his black in front of Jim Harrison and myself and 30 legends of sport karate around the country. And
very
he made black.
Cool.
Dan Anderson went through the whole test. He's a tremendous competitor. Did you realize that Dan's won over 200 grand championships? We need to induct him. We need to nominate
200.
Him first. He's a character. Yeah, 200 grand championships. Isn't that incredible?
Holy moly.
So, and then if people want to really have a good time, they can go to sportkaratemuseum.org, go to the very top where all the listings are, the history generals and various things, and look at it. It says the gathering live stream. I'm going to do something really cool here for your listeners. And I don't care if there's 1 million or 1,000. Once they type in the gathering live stream, they put in Professor Gary Lee at gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And the password is sport karate. And they can watch it uncut, unedited. And that's a tribute to Joe Lewis, Mr. Harrison's induction to the Texas Marshals Hall of Fame, the tribute we did to all the fallen warriors that we've lost, James Cook singing Tears in Heaven, Rudy Smedley and Guy James singing 8 Seconds in tribute to Joe personally, Mr. Corley doing a special tribute to Joe. And, you know, we lost Joe and Parker almost within a month, you know, Mr.
Mm-hmm.
Shelton. And, you know, for the listeners out there, Parker Shelton was the first president of the United States Karate Association. And but my point is, the gathering is really cool, guys. And now anybody can watch it anytime they want. It's uncut, unedited. Just type in Professor Gary Lee at gmail.com. When you go through the Microsoft video, not Microsoft, the Silverlight, it'll come up Silverlight.
Mm-hmm.
And then the password is Sport Karate. And it's I had 37 states represented and over 120 fighters in 4 countries. And, you know what else is really cool, guys? They can watch all the seminars with Troy Dorsey, Scott Hogarth, Mark Shuey, Sr., with the Cane Master.
Oh,
they
very
can watch
cool.
all the seminars.
Oh, that is
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, you can watch all the seminars. And you know what's really fun? You'll have to watch this one. You guys personally have to, Mr. Deal. We
mm-hmm.
had something really cool. I wanted to have a conversation with all the black belts as they walked in about different things. From 10th degree black belt masters to people who claim to be 15th degree, you know, whatever.
Right.
And that turned out to be one of the most exciting seminars that we had, because we had about 50 guys in there, all the old guys, and we just threw all kinds of questions out, and they filmed it. So it's kind of fun to watch. But, I it's not about making money. You know, I think they charge $4.99 or something like that to watch it, but I don't want to make money on people loving sport karate. I argued it from the beginning. So now I get to give it away free. So, listeners, the gathering live stream at the sportkaratemuseum.org, type in ProfessorGaryLee@gmail.com, and the password is Sport Karate, and you'll have a good time watching the gathering.
Got it.
Thank you for that.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's real cool. Hey, one more thing. I got a site that I've been doing, and it's called the Old School Black Belts America, 60s, 70s, and 80s. It's kind of gone viral on Facebook. It's about 2 months old, and old pictures, old stories, lots of cool stuff. I've advertised the 10 Texans that are being inducted into the Masters this year, incredible group. George Minshew, his lovely wife, Chris Minshew, is an incredible fighter. Of course, Bear Lovey, Daniel Baker. You know, it took me 15 years to win a first place from you. I probably got over 100 second and third places from Dan Baker. I finally beat him at June Rees in, I think, 1997. That's how long we competed against each other. And then, Bunyo, of course, and Rooster, and Charles Shepard, who was one of George Minshew's first black belts, good friends with Miss Rothrock. Charles is one of those old school black belts. They're recognizing him. And, I just can't say enough about what the Masters Hall of Fame has done for me. You know, I take a lot of pride being the first Texan being inducted. I take a lot of pride knowing that Jamie Cashin has really taken the ball and ran with it to make it very prestigious in the state of Texas. Mm-hmm. And he's such a great ambassador for the Sport Karate Museum. He's a great ambassador for the Masters Hall of Fame. I thought I would get to call in and talk to Bear and Abundio, but this is even better that I get to advertise my love and involvement in Sport Karate in the next few months. So,
very cool.
I don't know if I'll be able to make it out, but I sure will have you guys in spirit. And I thank you so much for letting me share.
Oh, you bet. Absolutely.
You bet. If anybody would like to, I got to do it. I mean, it took me 25 years to write it. You can go to Amazon.com. Memoirs of an American Samurai, or they can just type in Professor Gary Lee. And Memoirs of an American Samurai is an interesting book. It has all my documents in it, but stories of how I came from Hawaii and just became the lucky Hawaiian I'm known as. I traveled in like cross country 3 or 4 different times, and it was kind of like half black, but we'll travel, Mr. Deal, you know?
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. You know, I mean, yes, sir. And, you know, I love the stories I've written are really down-to-earth, remember from the gut-feeling stories. So people have really enjoyed it, and I sure enjoyed writing it. And so it's Memoirs of American Samurai, Amazon.com, and I sure appreciate people might take a look at that. They can read the first story free, of course, and that's The Tale of the 40 Brooms, a good story. Call Bear. Call Bear and tell him that Crazy Hawaiian called in and talked about him. And you can tell him this, you know, if you throw it in. Last night, you know, I was a center referee for the traditional grands for weapons, and I think he lost by one hundredth of a point to Alfredo Bustamante. And if I'm not correct, I don't think he's ever lost to Alfredo. You know, I think that he's beaten him every time when they've gone up against each other and, you know, the big compos. And I just wanted to, you know, let him know personally that his kata was immaculate. It was perfect. He did gay back. And it was perfect. And that's why, I mean, I gave him the score I did. And I'm real proud of him, what he's doing, what he's done. I'm real excited for him to be an alumni. And God bless you guys for all the hard work you do. Give Dan a big hug for me, and I'll call back in a little while.
Yeah, right, give us about 15 minutes or so. We'll call him in a little bit.
Well, I want you to brag a little bit, you know, and talk and let him talk, because this is a big deal, I'm sure, for him to understand, and he does, how hard he's worked. And now the respect and what Dan has built up with the Masters, it's going to, you know, let Texas know that there's a new kid on the block, a super producer that's building this volcano. And the skill of Texas games is going to be probably one of the most talked about events in the country. You know, I know that I don't normally say things like that, but with the top Texas 10 Bible ratings and what Bear's done with the games and taking the NPL, excuse me, to the level it is here in Texas, and to give the opportunity for any underbelt, and Mr. Neal, you'll understand this, for any underbelt to go to a huge tournament, see world champions, see the type of level of competition, and maybe someday keep it going so we keep this sport alive and well in America. So,
right.
You know,
absolutely.
That's how I feel. You know me, I'm just an old school guy, but I'm so proud of Bear. He really is a cool guy. So, anyway, God bless you guys, and I'll call back in a little bit, okay?
Alrighty,
you too. Thank
good.
You, sir.
Thanks.
God bless.
Right on.
Mahalo.
Mahalo. Right on. And that was Professor Gary Lee. Awesome. Very cool. All right. Well, we should probably try Bear again. But didn't you say you wanted to talk to my mom? What for?
Well, I want to delve in a little bit since we're friends, see what growing up was like with you. I want to talk to your mom, and I wanted to wish her a very happy birthday since yesterday was her birthday, or it was you celebrated her birthday yesterday. It was
yeah,
her true
we
birthday,
celebrated
though, right?
it. Yesterday, because we had a family member recently move here from the Philippines. He moved here just last Wednesday, and he's still jet lagged. So we had a celebration for that. And Mom's birthday is actually tomorrow, but we decided to have a joint celebration yesterday, and we had a bunch of food and a bunch of family over. It was really cool. So, I guess...
Well, that's the one thing I've learned about you Filipinos. If you go to, if I was to go up to your house and I starve, it's my fault.
Yes. That's right. That's right, because we'd be all like, eat, eat, eat. And yeah, if you were ever hungry, if you're staying at my house, it's your fault. Either you're sick, in bed, or you're just not eating.
That's right. And I think you'd actually force feed me if I wasn't eating.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how you stay so skinny.
All that working out, I guess, which is
must
getting
be.
Less and less because my knees are giving me grief.
Your knees, your back, you know, it's starting to get all
everything.
Right. Ooh.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, I don't do the jump type kicks anymore. So, you know, to talk with someone like Bear who can still do that.
give him 10 years.
Yeah, that's right. Well, let me go ahead and call my mom so that way you can speak to her. What's my phone number? I never call home. Oh, here we go. Hold on a sec.
There's a dork on this line, everybody. It's not me.
What? What'd you say?
I said there's a dork on the phone, and it's not me for a change.
Hold on a sec.
Mom, answer the phone.
Oops.
Is busy and cannot take your call. Please
what?
Leave a message after the tone.
Let me try that again.
She's 10 feet away.
Hold on. Let me try this again.
I always tell everybody, any technical difficulty with the show is always your fault.
It is. It is. It just waited to... she was downstairs.
Hello?
Hi, Mom. You're live on Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah, thank you for calling.
Well,
I'm sorry it took so long, Mrs. DeJesus. I apologize.
Oh, well.
That's Bob. That's Sifu Bob.
My birthday will be tomorrow.
I wanted to wish you a very, very happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And I understand, you may not understand what I'm about to say, but I understand when Sifu Rusty was really young, you were a great tennis player.
Oh, Jesus.
Tennis player.
You're going to have to explain that to her.
Well, she tells me because her and I grew up old school. When we deserved a punishment, we got a punishment, not like today. You can't punish your kids like her and I were punished. I understand you used to use a tennis racket.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Okay. I let you go. Thank you.
Ma'am, you have a great birthday.
Yeah.
Enjoy your holiday.
I'll be 79 years old.
Oh, I got that wrong. I wrote 78 on Facebook.
No,
I'm
79.
Oh, well, 79 years young. Right on.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yay. Happy birthday again, Mom. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Take
care. Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was cute. Tennis player. Okay.
I knew she wouldn't understand it, but I had to go there anyway. Hey, you know, it wouldn't have made any more sense to her than if I would have said she thought she was John McEnroe, an angry tennis player.
Yeah, I don't think she knows who John McEnroe is. All right. So, 347-677-0699. We are going a little overtime. Our schedule is going to change a little bit. We were going to have Master David Morizot on right now, but it turns out that we're going to have Master Lawrence Bear Loby on. So we're going to go ahead and call Master Loby, and then at around 7:10 or so, we'll have Master Morizot, and then at about 7:30 or so, we'll have Master Abundio Munoz. So stay tuned, everybody. 347-677-0699. Let's go ahead and give Master Loby a call here. Live call. Let's see if I type this in right. Let's see here. Note to self, do not talk and dial at the same time.
Good note.
All right, and we're dialing.
Hey, guys.
Hey. How's it going, Master Loby?
I'm doing all right.
Awesome.
You should have heard, Master Loby, we just had Professor Gary Lee on the line. You should have heard all the rotten things he was saying about you.
I was listening in. I'm glad he said a bunch of stuff, so I didn't have to. I'm not real good at bragging about myself, so I was kind of like, okay, keep going, because then I don't have to say anything.
Well, that's awesome. Well, if Professor Lee is still listening, which I think he is, I think he's still logged in to Blog Talk Radio, feel free to call in. Like now.
Oh,
please feel free to call.
I'm only 30 years old. I know you said I was 34, but he always tells me that, so I'm only 30.
Oh, well, you know, based on the accomplishments that I'm seeing here on your website, that's incredible. You know, when he said 34, I went, okay, that works. But 30, you know, and having all these world championships and NBL and SKIL titles and stuff, that's just incredible. I can't wrap my mind around it. Maybe it's because I can't do any of that anymore. You're talking to some old farts over here. But what we'd like to do, if it's okay, is we'd like to have our listeners learn a little bit about your background in karate and sport karate. So can you take a little bit of time to tell our listeners about how you got started in martial arts and what got you interested in it?
Yeah, sure, definitely. I started when I was 5, so my grandmother put me in martial arts, and she would tell the story that she was actually going to go put me in a gymnastics studio, and they were closed on the way back, saw a karate school, and she said, hey, you want to do karate? And, yeah, sure, and stopped in the karate school, and I'm still doing it today. And so, you know, about 5 years old was when I started at Houston Karate Academy here in Houston, Texas, with April Cunningham and Luis Garcia and Wayne Nguyen, and I just fell in love with it. And about 4 years later, I got black belt when I was 9 years old.
Wow. Which,
yeah. And, you know, and ever since then, it was everything from, training. I fell in love with competition at a young age. I guess when I was about brown belt, red belt, I started competing and just fell in love with it. I guess maybe I'm very competitive and just kind of the rush you get when you compete and training and all that. So I started competing young and then found teaching. I guess when I was about 16 and started teaching for my instructor, who was Wayne Nguyen from the Moon Slide Kicks. He was a white ninja. And so I started teaching for him and instructing his schools, and then ended up, you know, running his schools all the way up through and competing, you know, the whole time. So I pretty much do almost one of those dojo rats where I was there every day, training, teaching. You know, I would live in a karate school if I could have. And my grandmother, who put me in martial arts, she got real involved with it also and was running the office, and she became the office manager. And even today at my karate school, she's the office manager at my karate school. So she's always been right there with me along the whole journey too. So it's really cool. Like I said, I love it. And, you know, every part of it and competition and everything. And I've done other things. I played sports, baseball and football and all that stuff through school. But it was always martial arts that was, you know, they took number one over everything else. So even if I had football practice, I would still go to karate class that night too, even if I was tired or whatever there. So always had martial arts, and I even through school and, you know, a little bit of college, I just knew like martial arts is what I wanted to do. It was never even any option other than martial arts. So that's kind of like I started at the young age, and then opportunity came up where you get to that age where you're an instructor and you're teaching for your instructor, and you're just, you know, time to grow up. And so the amount of money you can make teaching at somebody's school isn't going to, you know, isn't a career that maybe you can have always. And so then I got a job with Chuck Norris's program, Kickstart Kids, Big Drugs Out of America. And I've been with them for 8 years, and that's an amazing program. And I got the job when I was 21. And so working for them, their head director for years and years was Grandmaster Ed Sines, who developed all of Chuck Norris's curriculum stuff for his Chunky Joe and all that. And from that program, I became a really good instructor. I took my passion for instructing and really learned how to do it correctly and break everything down. And of course, I was obsessed with reading, you know, Dave Kovar's books and all those things of these, you know, martial arts business minds. So I really, you know, I wouldn't read my books for high school, right, for my classes, but I would go and read all these martial arts business magazines. It was that kind of thing where I have to be really interested in something that really put, you know, my mind into it. But I did that. And so then, you know, working for Kickstart allowed me in 2007 to buy my instructor's school from them. And that was my dream always, to do that. And I had done a bunch of different jobs. You know, as a karate instructor, you do what you love, but you do other things so that you can do what you love. And
right.
Everything. Lifeguarding. I worked at Abercrombie & Fitch. I did nightclub security, nightclub promotions, and all kind of stuff just so that I could save money to eventually own my own school. But at the same time, doing Kickstart Kids, working with the inner city kids in the daytime. And then eventually got to have my school in 2007. And immediately, it was a 2,500 square foot school. I think when I bought it, it had about 19 paying customers. But as soon as I came back, it kind of rejuvenated the school, and a lot of old black belts and old karate students that I had been teaching at that school for a long time before that. So now that it was mine, a lot of old people came back, and it really blew up to the point where, in about 3 years, in 2010, I was busting at the teams. I had to get a bigger place. So I built out, there was a place next to me, about 4,500 square feet, and I built out from scratch my dream karate school. And I really just thought about everything that growing up I would have needed to become a champion and to become, you know, to have the best stuff. I didn't want it to be like any other karate school. I really try to pride myself on being innovative, and you know, I look at a lot of other places like the top, you know, fitness gyms, the top, you know, places. What do they have that makes them different or special? And so I built my school in 2010 from the ground up, and I love it. Every day I love it in dreams. But I'm actually retiring from Kickstart Kids this year. I've been there for 8 years, so I teach all day long from 9 a.m. to 4 o'clock, p.m. and then I go to my karate school at 5 and get off at 9:30. I've been doing that for about 6 years.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I thought my schedule was bad.
Yeah, people tell me that. They go, oh, man, God. I'm so tired and this and that. I'm like, dude, I'm only halfway done my day. Like.
Yeah, right? You just want to look at them and go, uh-huh.
Yeah.
I deal with middle school kids in a bad neighborhood all day long, too. So, you know, that's it's 6th, 7th, 8th grade that we teach at Kickstart. So dealing with gang members and things like that with attitudes. And, you know, at a commercial karate school, you tell somebody to do it, and they're, yes, sir, and they do it right away. You tell mm-hmm. some of these kids to do something at the middle school, and they look at you, and they're like, yo, who are you? You know what?
Right.
So you have to gain their respect. And everybody
exactly.
else wants to yell at them. Teachers, I love teachers, being around a lot of teachers. You know, we all have those teachers that just, like, immediately yell at kids. And mm-hmm. then they wonder why they're mm-hmm. bad in the class. And so... But being able to be in that environment with them and learn that I had to gain their respect before you can get them to do what you want them to do,
mm-hmm.
is a real valuable tool.
Exactly.
Very
cool.
I didn't see that job go, but it was really cool, and I have my dream school now. So that's pretty much it.
Yeah, 4,500 square feet. That's any martial arts instructor's dream. 4,500 square feet. I'm drooling.
I'll make you drool more. We have a Olympic gymnastic floor in there, a springboard
oh,
floor for all the tricks, the splits. That was my number one thing I had to have. I'm like, you know what? I have to have this, because if I would have had that growing up, I've done a lot in sport karate, but you know, we trained in the grass, we trained in, you know, outdoor carpeting on top of concrete.
Yeah.
And you know, I grew up in a dojo with bamboo on the wall, and it, that smell you just learn to love because you have to.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Oh,
yeah.
I did wushu on concrete for years and years and years and years, and just the thought of, you know, if I had a sprung floor, this
right.
this would be great.
Yeah.
Well,
we already have
callers. Yeah, yeah, exactly. We already have callers that want to talk to you. This is cool. So any of our listeners out there that want to talk to Bear Lobey, our phone number here is 347-677-0699, and we'll be taking callers
in
the order.
Speaking of which,
yes.
Sensei, we were both curious, because you're not an opposing gentleman. How did you get the nickname Bear?
That's funny. Everybody asked me that, you know, because they're like, well, you don't look like a bear. You know, it's not some crazy, you know, kung fu animal name or anything like that. It, you know, when I was born, I was a little fat baby when I came out, and they, you know, just called me the little bear. And
aww.
My grandmother always called me Bear growing up. So when they took me to the karate school and said, you know, they said, what's his name? And they said, oh, we call him Bear. And it just stuck. So.
Oh,
very cool.
Awesome.
That is cool.
Yeah, so,
that is
cool.
It works
out because I kind of have my alias, I guess, you know, too. You know,
yeah, there you go. Bear sent me.
Yeah.
All right. We have a caller from area code 817. Thanks for being so patient, 817. You're on Dynamic Dojo. Go ahead.
Hello.
Area code 817. Hello. Welcome to Dynamic Dojo.
Me.
Yes.
You got me.
We have you.
Well,
we have you.
I am blessed to be a real good friend of Bear's and an ambassador for Hall of Fame that inducted him. And I think what this guy is the stud among studs. There's no doubt. He is the king of studs of martial arts, in my opinion. And a good example of this, I was with Grandmaster J. Pat Burleson and Grandmaster George Minshew, and we drove by his school unannounced. And he was in jeans, not warmed up. We were out for the night. And he, I said, hey, show us something, man. He just did, I don't know, 20-something flips up in the air and landed in splits, a toe toucher, back, you know, back scratcher, and hit the ceiling. And just, he really did do several flips up in the air, which I've never been able to do. And it's just amazing that at his age, he just, not that he's old, it's just typically when you get above 25, you're not doing the stuff he does. But He truly is a blessed individual with tremendous talent and gives.
Well, and
gives
for
so
our
much
listeners, the person on the phone is Sensei Jamie Cashman
mm-hmm.
out of Texas.
Howdy, howdy, howdy! So we're blessed to have him, and I just love him, and I've always loved him. I loved judging him as a little kid, and he was always respectful, And he probably has one of the largest schools, if not the largest school for sport karate in Houston. I think it probably is the largest school in sport karate, and he gives so much of his time to help help other people. And to me, that's what the Masters Hall of Fame is about. We don't all have to be champions, even though Bear's won 19 times over as a world champion. The fact that he has such a big heart and wants to give back, I think that's what it's all about. So,
yes, sir.
He's a blessing. He's a blessing to us, and we love him from Texas.
Well, you know, Sensei, it's funny you said about giving back. You know, I was asked a couple months ago by Grandmaster Alfred Akitas, said, what are you looking for this year? You said, you hit it right on the head. I'm looking for the martial artists to induct that give back to the community, that give back to the arts, that really appreciate it. I wasn't looking for talent anymore like I used to.
Right. Well, what's so gifted about him is he's got both. You know, whereas I don't really have the talent, I have the blessing of being able to give and the gift of giving, and was blessed to go to Africa and Uganda and teach orphans karate, and it's a blessing. Everybody's got their talents, and mine is definitely teaching, and his is both. I mean, he's just as blessed in both areas, and equally so.
Oh, beautiful. We appreciate that.
Well, looks like we have Professor Gary Lee on the line too. Professor Lee, are you there?
Well, I'm listening to my animal friends, Mr. Kasten and Bear. First of all, I love you, Jamie. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, sir.
Bear, I called in specifically just to tell you, brother, I'm so proud of you. To be nominated by Master Kasten for this, and as you've probably seen what I did today on our social network, I've said what I feel not only from the Texas Sport Karate Museum and the represents the country, but also the Texas Top 10. You know, I'm just so proud of you, Bear, that you've earned this recognition, and that Jamie saw it, and I'm just proud of you. I just want to call you. I'm proud of you. And if you want to talk about last night, 1/100th of a tenth or one-tenth of a, I don't know. I thought your call was perfect. I thought you did gave back perfect last night. I didn't see any mistakes. That's why I gave you the score I did. And I was honored to judge you. But you're just getting better, man. And you know one more thing? Mr. Cassidy, I'm sorry. I thought he was 34 years old. He's still only a kid. You're only 30. Well, I keep making the mistakes. I've been calling you 34 now for, 4 years or something? I don't know.
Something like that.
For 4 years. Well, you're doing something, Bear, that you know, very rarely people in other martial arts don't do, is that you're continuing to do these kind of like extreme martial arts type of stuff. You know, after the age of 28, like most people, like in Muay Thai, Wushu, we retire at 25 and just coach because we can't do it anymore. And you're at that level where you still can. And that, I salute you. That's that's amazing. So kudos to you for that.
I grew up in really the first generation that started with the tricking and the flips and all this and stuff in competition. And so, you know, even like we had the, you know, we had John Valera and Mike Chad, all these guys that we were looking up to, that were just right on the brink of it, and then it really kind of our generation, you know, started really doing that in competition and stuff. So I kind of grew up doing it more, and so I try to keep, you know, in good enough shape. I want to be one of those black belts that I can still do it as long as I can for my students, and be able to teach my students the newest stuff. I don't want to get behind the times in competition and stuff, because I feel if I can do it as long as I can, and I can bring that to my students, and they can do their best. And initially, not winning last night was fine. It's always hard doing Korean against Japanese forms of grand champions, so I don't ever expect.
Well, not the way that you do kata. As listeners maybe that know my history, I'm immaculate about kata, and you were perfect last night. So don't compare yourself against Japanese Okinawan. You were perfect.
I never
do.
But, you know, it's tough. You know, even it's kind of like a, you know, weapons and creative blending each other, something like that. But
sure,
it's real important to me. Also, like we talk about the extreme forms and everything, but there's a lot of people out there that start doing the extreme and all this stuff, and they forget about the traditional. But it's real important to me,
and that I teach to my students, that the traditional aspect of it and the forms. I have two titles in Korean forms, and those I actually hold those Korean form titles close to my heart because that's my style, and I believe that I want to be the best in my style and represent my style. So I love the extreme
form. Well,
Mr.
Cash and I both agree. People who don't know you, you've won traditional Korean forms. You've won Japanese forms. You've won creative forms, musical, non-musical. You've won continuous fighting. You know, not many people can say they've done and won world titles in those areas there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes you very special to the Masters Hall of Fame and to Mr. Cash and myself. I do want to mention something. I think Mr. Cash will agree with me. You're a super producer. That's what I called you before earlier. You've done something. You've taken, I know, but you know, let me say this. You've taken the idea of having a karate event, and you've made it not only fun for every competitor, every spectator, every person that walks in, but you've taken it to the level higher than I've ever seen it done in the past few years. And this year, I can't wait. You know, we read your term when you first started. Of course, together from the Back Alley Bash, we created the Undisputed Division from the Super Fight between Chris Galeo and some guy named Garrett Lee. So your vision, what you've done with the skill games, and I want you to talk about that a little bit too. Listen, tell them what that it is and what you got planned. Because the other yesterday when you were telling me, I was antsy. I couldn't wait. You're just going on and on. I'm serious. So tell the listeners and tell. I don't know if you even told Mr. Catherine yet what you got planned this year. It's incredible. Go Bear.
Well, it kind of came into the a few years ago. When that's kind of like what I do. It was kind of the plan. I had the school and all that. And I grew up in competitions, and a lot of the top Texas competitions, the big ones, like back in, you know, we had the Masters and we had in the Yellow Rose and Houston Nationals, Al Garza and all that. You know, I grew up with all those huge tournaments and looking up to them. And in the last few years, you know, sport karate has kind of lost a lot of those big tournaments, and especially in Texas. Texas used to have a bunch of nationals, and they don't. And so it's kind of a changing of the guard, and I'm kind of looking around going, well, who's going to do it? And I was like, well, I guess it's going to be me. If I don't do it, I'm going to jump up. So I kind of really started trying to get everybody together and work on. I took a lot of things that I learned from some West Coast promoters and East Coast promoters. I have some friends that throw really big tournaments, and Corky Sykes in Georgia and Pittsburgh, Bill Viola, and a lot of friends. And now, like I said, changing the guard, you have these promoters like the East Coast with Jeff Doss and Apple Fielsen doing Sin City and Vegas. And so it's kind of, we had to kind of say, okay, well, it's our turn to step up and take sport karate in our hands, in our states, in our regions, and bring it back to where it was, because we grew up and we deserve, our students deserve that. I mean, really, that's what I do it for, because, because we know you take students to tournaments and you're losing money. Take tournaments, they're going there, they might see bad attitudes, they might quit karate because of it, they might, there's a lot of negatives that could be from tournaments, but if the tournaments are all done correctly and all supervised, organized and everything, and your students are all prepared for it correctly, then it's a positive thing for everybody. And I learned really from Corky Sykes in Georgia. He throws a Survivor martial arts tournament, and I really learned from him because he has created a sport karate program within his school that is a way that it's a win-win for everybody, and then they go to tournaments and it's a positive thing. And so I try to do that at my karate school, Sport Karate America, and I love sport karate. I love the traditional side of it, but sport karate is really kind of the thing that I love. And so we decided to take on that, and Boyce made me the director of Texas there for skill. And I started throwing my tournament, and then when it was the state games, I like when you go to tournaments and there's something different.
Tell them about some of the things that you're offering at the tournament. You know, it's incredible. Tell them about all the divisions and the things that you're offering. Just go. This is cool. Tell them.
Each tournament needs a personality. I really feel like that. Like when I used to go to the big nationals, everyone has a personality. I mean, even like, a lot of the bigger tournaments, like Atlanta, US Open, they all have their special niches kind of thing. And so I wanted to create that at the skill state. Also because there's other circuits, and there's lots of tournaments for people to choose from. So how are you gonna stick out? How are you gonna make people come there? I don't believe it really matters on rating, because everybody has ratings. You have 7-8 different ratings in Texas right now. So some people chase points and stuff like that, but when you have a Texas, like, nobody's really chasing points because there's not huge tournaments right now, how do you, you know, separate it? So you kind of started promoting stuff, and I created the Undisputed Division, which is 18-plus, all weights. You know, I wanted to get all the best fighters in Texas in one place. I wanted to do a tournament-style, first-to-5, winner-take-all, you know, event, or division. And it worked. And last 2 years, we've had really, really great fights. And, you know, and this is the first year.
Well, you've run with the top Texas 10 blood moon ratings together. We birthed that with the idea. We got to plug in one guy together that's both part of our lives, besides Master Cash, and that's Daryl Stewart, who's the NBA arbitrator.
Hang on, hang on. Now, why would you say he's not a part of my life? That's not right for you to say.
He tells me he loves me.
Who would tell me they love me if they're not a part of my life?
Please forgive me.
But hang on, before he steals the rest, I do want to say that without Gary Lee, really this conversation wouldn't be taking place, because he was so good and kind to me and recognize a few efforts that I'm trying to do and inducted me, and from that I've just been blessed to go forward and carry on the torch. So he is definitely the biggest promoter in the martial arts and always will be, and I'm just the tool.
It's all about putting us together and just, you know, Bear is an ambassador for the martial arts. He was an ambassador when I made him an ambassador almost 3 years ago, you know, way before people realized his talent. Of course, you're the ambassador, and the Sport Card Museum has grown because of people like you. But going back, the saying that Daryl Stewart, and we call him Bigfoot down here in Texas, he's been our state arbitrator for he actually took my job over for 16 years now. He's been the arbitrator. But Daryl and I, we created the top Texas 10 live vote ratings, and Bear embraced us. You know, he really did. He made it part of the state games, and we recognized the fighters at the end of the year. And you know, the main thing I want to say also about Bear, he's a kid advocate to the extreme. He's what I call Daniel Hecht the same thing, a professional maximizer. He takes it to wherever you can take it, to whatever he thinks you can, and he takes it much further. And Jamie Cashin is that same way. It's incredible. And I tell you what, I got to go. I love you guys both, but I'm going to leave you with this thought. Remember, we're not the prettiest crayon in the box than anything, but we surround ourselves by the prettiest crayons we get by. And you know, you, Jamie, you're one of the prettiest crayons I've ever met, and Bear, you're one of the prettiest crayons I've ever met, so that's why I keep you close to me. I'm so proud of you. I'm not going to get the call back and talk to El Bundio, so Mr. Deal, will you please tell him how much I'm so proud of him? And yes, sir, and so proud of you, Bear. God bless you. I'll see you real soon. And by the way, you owe me an autograph, E-top, and nunchucks, some sidekicks. I'm not going to let you ever forget that, right? And I want it before I start doing the tours for the museum. Okay, Bear?
Yes, sir.
Okay, God bless you, brother. And as I call you always, you're the animal in my life. Take care, Master Cashin. God bless you.
Bye, brother. Yes, sir. Bye.
Bless.
Awesome. Looks like we have another caller. We have someone calling from area code 925. 925, you're on Dynamic Dojo.
I am calling from San Francisco, and this is Hanchi Dan Hecht. How are you?
Hi, Hanchi. How are you?
Outstanding. I'm up here visiting my sister and her kids, and we just jumped on the radio to get the last part of the show. Tell Gary Lee I'm sorry I missed him. I just got walked in the door and realized that the show just started, or just about to end. How's
everybody
doing?
We have another hour, but we're doing great.
Oh, another hour?
Yeah, we have another hour.
In
fact, we're going to talk to Bear here for another few minutes, and then we'll have to take a soft break and bring on our next guest.
Sounds good.
But yeah, it's been a great show so far. And for our listeners out there, we are currently talking to Hanchi Dan Hecht. He is the CEO of the Masters Hall of Fame. And all these shows that we've been doing all through May and through the beginning part of June are the Masters Hall of Fame series. And we're going to be bringing on more nominees for the 2013 Masters Hall of Fame, as well as ambassadors as we can get them. But thanks for calling, Hansi Dan.
How you doing, Bear? Thank you, Arsida. Thank you. Hey, Bear, how are you?
Doing fine. Looking forward to meeting you.
You, me too. I'm looking forward to meeting you. I've heard a lot about you. You're sounds like you're a pretty accomplished guy.
I'm a hard worker, sir.
Yes. That's good stuff. So when are you coming out? Are you coming out Friday night for the VIP party?
Yes, sir. I'll probably go down there Thursday and then come all the way down to Monday.
Deal.
My girlfriend lives there in L.A., so I'm going to come down there.
Oh, super.
Oh, nice.
I think a couple of our guys are getting together to do some golfing Thursday. I'll definitely have to put you in touch with them if they still plan on doing that.
Yes, sir, for sure. That's my second love.
There you go. I think it's all of our second love. I just called to say hello, and I'm going to be listening to the show. Rosita, I don't mean to steal the host spot. Go ahead.
Oh, no problem. No problem. You're more than welcome to, like, host it anytime.
Yeah.
All righty. Cool. Well, I'll go ahead and put your mic on mute, and you can listen to the rest of the show. It'll be cool.
Sounds good.
Awesome. So our phone number
Bear,
here.
Where does since I know L.A. so well, where does your girlfriend live out here?
Hermosa Beach.
Oh, nice area. Very beautiful.
Yes.
Awesome.
Looks like a little vacation.
I'm sorry, what? It looks like a little vacation spot? Or?
It's a little vacation every time I get to go out there.
Oh, yeah, right?
It
always feels like a vacation when I go down to the Cali myself. I'm from Seattle, so, like, you know, seeing the sun is not.
Yeah, that's a big thing for you, isn't it?
It is. It is. So our phone number here, listeners, is 347-677-0699. We've got a few more minutes with Master Bear Lobey, 347-677-0699. Now, I have a question, Bear. Now, what was your reaction when you found out you were being nominated to the Masters Hall of Fame?
Master Cash is on the line, and Dr. Tom, thank you so much for everything he's done for me, and he's really an inspiration. And shows, you know, selflessness, you know, to the martial arts and between, you know, looking up to him and my grandmother also kind of doing that. It's just, you know, he's an inspiration. But when I first found out, I was kind of like, you know, come back, like, oh, you know, I'm young. I see the list that's posted of everybody in the Hall of Fame, and I'm like the youngest guy in there. And I kind of said that to my grandmother. I said, man, you know, I really am honored, I'm like taken back because I'm so young and stuff. But, you know, I've been in martial arts 25 years, and I really try to give back. And everything I do is really about, you know, I want the next generation of martial artists to have what I had when I was younger and even more and stuff. And so I'm honored, truly honored to be a member and be inducted, and it means a lot to me. And, I can't wait for it.
Very cool.
Very
it's
cool.
Be a great time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what category were you nominated for? Do you remember?
I think it was Mr. Cashman. What was it?
The stud category. It's the stud category.
it's a new one we invented just for you, Bear.
I think
the
first of the studs.
It may be lifetime achievement. I think I don't have it in front of me, and I inducted several. None of them as good as Bear. And of course, when Abundio calls in, I will say the same about Abundio. But I think it's Lifetime Achievement Award, I think.
Very cool.
I think that's right.
And he's
very.
So good. I'm telling you that I'm like, okay, the last couple of years we've had different people come out and do something. I'm like, man, if we need to get him to do a form, because I know sometimes forms, in my opinion, I'm not really a form guy. I like to fight. Not been the best at it. I prefer to do that versus forms, but his are so daggum good looking that I'm like, man, we can get him to go up there and do a form and be really entertaining, and I kind of dropped the ball on that. But maybe if you are going to be there this June, we can put him off the side and he can do a quick backflip for you, because he can do it in no time. It's easy, and it's no big deal for him. season.
I don't know. Maybe we can possibly convince Bear to do a forum in between one of the seminars on seminar day on Friday. What do you think, Bob?
We're back to back, but I think maybe at the end of the 11:30 one, before we go to lunch, would be
really
cool.
That would be cool. You know, now we're putting you on the spot here, Bear. Now you can't say no.
And since I'm running the seminars this year, Bear, it's very easy for me to say yes.
I'll pack a uniform. Well, and he keeps winning this NBL first place for a reason, and a lot of times it's with form. He knows a lot more than I do about it, but his forms are truly the best. And he's such a good kid that, like in 97 or maybe 98, I did a fundraiser for the Boys and Girls Club, and I did a kickboxing event, and I brought in four of my favorites to do a kata and or the bow, and they won by applause, and Bear's just a stud. I mean, he didn't hesitate. Sure, I'd love to come down, and he did that for me as a young man instead of going to wherever you can go up in Houston. Y'all don't have a Six Flags. Oh, yeah, you do. Don't you? Or not? Anyway, he took the time at a young age to come in there and put, his selflessness aside and helped out these kids and raised a bunch of money, and he was a big part of that. So he's always been the way he is, but his forms are dynamic, and it'd be a treat for y'all to see him.
Very cool.
Oh, great. We look forward to it.
Thank
you,
sir.
We do. Well, it was so good talking to you, Bear, and I look forward to meeting you. I know Sifu Bob's looking forward to meeting you, and we're really honored and proud of you for being a new addition to the Masters Hall of Fame. So congratulations in advance.
Great. Thank you guys very much for having me on, and I'm looking forward to the Hall of Fame. Sounds like a lot of fun.
It will be. Looking forward to meeting you. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us this evening.
No problem. Do we have to plug my website? Mr. Lee plugged all his. So.
Yeah, plug your website.
Oh, go
please.
Ahead.
Please.
All right, cool. BearLobey.com is my website. Cool. It's for my karate school. We have a really cool new commercial that's on there that I think is pretty innovative, done by Elevate Creations. So I want to check that out and, check that out. And I actually just signed up. My school has just joined up with the Hyper Pro Training. I've heard about the Hyper with Roland Osborne and Jason Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
And that is an awesome program. And I've been doing sport karate and tricks and all this for a long time. And that program is such an awesome, crazy addition to our program. So wanted to shout out to that because that's been a really cool thing we've been doing lately. But like I said, thanks for having me on, guys.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. You have a great holiday, Bear.
You too. And we'll see you soon, brother. Be safe.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Right on.
Wow,
and that was
segment,
that was a great segment. That was Bear Lobey of Sport Karate America, and we still have Master Jamie Cashin with us. And you're welcome to stay on, Master Cashin, because we've got a Munoz coming in probably another half hour. So, or you can call
okay.
back.
I think I'll call back. I tell you what, though, I just saw him. He's also a bodybuilder, so on top of everything else he does, he competed this week and just went to his competition. He looked phenomenal. So. Yes, I'll call back, and I look forward to visiting. And until
awesome.
Then, you'll have a blessed evening.
Great, thanks.
Great, thank
yes.
you, sir.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, let's go ahead and just take just a really short one-minute PSA break, and then we're going to be speaking to Mr. David Morizot. I think I said that right, Morizot, or maybe it's Morizot. I'm not quite sure. Maybe David can correct me here after the break. So hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back after this.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org. and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Eddie Morales from Kickin' It Old School on KCAA 1050 AM. I want to take this opportunity to invite you to the martial arts event of the year, the Masters Hall of Fame, on Saturday, June 22nd, 2013, at the Orange County Hilton, located in Costa Mesa, California. This year's theme is Women in the Martial Arts. Our guest speaker will be Lisa the Black Widow King. We will be honoring many legends in the martial arts. Join Dan and I from Kickin' It Old School at the Masters Hall of Fame, Saturday, June 22nd, 2013. Get your tickets now at mastershalloffame.org.
And now, on with the show.
All right, and we're back. If you're just now tuning in, you've just tuned in to Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio with Restita and Robert. Our phone number is 347-677-0699. And we just had a great first segment with Lawrence Bear Lobey of Sport Karate America. Wonderful first segment. We had Professor Gary Lee call in to join us, and Master Jamie Cashin call in to join us. What a great first segment, Bob. That was cool.
Oh, wow. It was amazing with Hanchi Heck calling in and Gary Lee and Master Cashin. It was a tremendous segment. One of our best.
Yes, I agree. Well, our next guest is Mr. David Morizot. We're going to go ahead and give him a live call, and we're dialing. I hope he's not upset that we're calling late.
Remember, he is a bodybuilder. He might just press the phone.
Oh, this is David Morizot, not Abundio Munoz.
Oh, you're right.
Hi, this is David. Please leave your name, number, and a message. Thanks.
Oh, he's mad.
Hi, David. This is Restita of Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio. Myself and Sifu Robert Deal, my co-host, we're really sorry that we missed you. We were running like about a half hour behind on the radio show. We were slated to call you at about 7:30, and that didn't happen. So we'll go ahead and try you back here probably in another 30 minutes. We're going to see about getting our third guest on a little bit early, and then we'll give you a call right back and see if we can get you on then for the last segment, so maybe about 7:35 or so. So, or you can feel free to call us here at the studio. It's 347-677-0699. And again, this is Restita of Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio, 347-677-0699. If you call within the next hour or so, you should be okay. All right, we'll talk to you later. Bye. I've never had to leave a message on a radio show.
I got to love that live radio.
I know, right? Live radio and I'm leaving a message. That's pretty funny. Well, let's try. You want to try Abundio?
Let's try Abundio.
Let's see if we can get him on. Yeah, let's see if we can get him on earlier. Hi, Abundio. This is Restita calling from Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. First off, thank you in advance for agreeing to join us on our show today. I think we're calling a little late. Wait, Bob, are we calling late?
No,
we're calling early.
Early for him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
we're calling just a little bit early, but we hope that you'd be available. So thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Right on. We had a bunch of masters on our previous segment that were raving about you and saying all sorts of great stuff. In fact, I think Mr. Jamie Cashin should be calling back here again soon.
I hope
Gary
he still
Lee.
Listens because he told him to call in at 7:30.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, cool. Well, since we have you on the line, Mr. Munoz, what we like to do is we like to have our guests give our listeners a little bit of a background on their journey in martial arts. So could you tell our listeners a little bit about what attracted you to martial arts and how you got started?
Well, I started back in 78. It was something I had talked about when I was a kid, you know, every once in a while. And then my dad decided one day that, you know, it would be a good idea for me to join a studio. So that was, you know, like I said, back in 78, I was like 9 or 10 years old in Bryan College Station. So got involved there in a martial arts studio, American Taekwondo. Basically, we're under the Jun Lee system. Steve Powell is my karate instructor, and he came up under the Jun Lee system. So basically, you know, that's where I started and kind of led. I mean, that's all I've ever done all my life. I mean, that's where it all started. And from there, you know, I did, you know, the martial arts studios for such a long time. Till like 91, I stayed there. I taught for my karate instructor. We had the biggest studio in Bryan College Station. My instructor was a professor at A&M and in kinesiology. And we had an A&M Taekwondo club that I used to go up there and teach when I was like 16 years old. I got my black belt March 28, 1982. I was in the sixth grade. So from then on, you know, I taught for my instructor and ran the karate studio, was the head instructor. And in 91, I moved to Fort Worth and opened my own studio up. And it's kind of grown from there. You know, it was just a martial arts studio probably for like maybe 6 years. And then I got into personal training. Now I have a full-blown gym that, you know, I teach kickboxing, aerobics, you know, weight training, circuit training. So I'm just not a karate studio anymore. So it's kind of from karate, martial arts, American Taekwondo, it's kind of grown and kind of made my career, you know. So I'm 44 now, and I was promoted to 8th degree black belt, I think, like 2 years ago. So, I mean, that's kind of a basically out, you know, not a lot of detail in that. But, I mean, I have a lot of detail that that's basically my journey there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they move into Dallas-Fort Worth area, I mean, which I knew no one. You know, just maybe people that I competed with, but nobody knew who I was in the city, you know. So, I mean, I have definitely grown from nothing to now. It's like you come to Fort Worth and you want to train with anybody who's good in martial arts. You know, I got into kickboxing when I came to Dallas-Fort Worth, and I did some competition with that. You know, I also train right now jiu-jitsu. And believe it or not, I just got through doing a bodybuilding show last night that I've been training for like 16 weeks.
Right on.
You know, So, I mean, I'm a little, you know, I love the competition of martial arts. I was on the NASCAR circuit, you know, I fought all over, you know, I was on a team. We used to travel all over the world, you know, and I used to represent the team for kickboxing and the light heavyweight. You know, I don't know if you know who Tom Festa is, but he's in up in New York. I used to fight with his team a lot, you know, so we did the Waco circuit for a while. So I've done that circuit, the AOK circuit here in Texas. You know, I've done the NASCAR circuit. I've done some MBL. You know, I've done some boxing, just straight boxing, and of course some just kickboxing circuit tournaments also. But not, I don't do much of that anymore. I mean, all I do is run my business, teach kids martial arts, you know, adult martial arts. I teach some substance classes, you know, personal training, weight training, that kind of stuff. Cardio kickboxing probably is my most popular thing right now.
Very cool. Yeah, I was looking at your class offerings on your website, and this is a full-featured studio, listeners. Is it okay if I plug your website, Mr. Munoz? I'm going to go ahead and plug
your website. That's fine. I mean,
It's the website here is abundiosstudio.com, and their facility is fully featured. They teach everything: cardio, kickboxing, Pilates, D-bar. I don't know what that is. D-bar, D-bounce.
It's a bar. Stephanie is one of our instructors. Have you ever heard of bar classes?
No, never heard of it.
It's a combination of Pilates and ballet, basically, is what it is.
Oh, very cool.
It's very, very popular.
Very cool. So yeah, they've got everything: cardio, kickboxing, boxing, the D-bar series, taekwondo, children's classes, and private and semi-private lessons. I mean, this is full featured. Go check it out if you guys are ever in the Fort Worth area. Go check out Abundio Studio. Now, Mr. Munoz, who nominated you into the Masters Hall of Fame, and what was your reaction? Was it Jamie?
Jamie Cashin did, and I was a little surprised, you know, at first. You know, I've kind of became, I think I'm, you know, for martial arts, you know, it's, like I said, it's not my main thing right now. I'm still involved in it. Not as much involved in it as I used to be. I mean, I don't do the tournament circuit anymore, you know, but I still, you know, kind of give back to the city here, you know, by, you know, having kids classes and offering adult private classes and things like that. So, you know, a lot of time has gone by where I've actually been related to something really big in martial arts, meaning like a karate tournament or anything like that, or big, but I guess the last ceremony, a big ceremony I had when I was promoted to my 8th grade black belt. But yes, I mean, I was kind of like, this is great. Right? So it's worked out well.
Yeah. In fact, I think we have Mr. Jamie Cashin on the line right now. Master Jamie, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
Awesome. Cool. Now we got both of you on the line.
Well, he's being really nice by saying he's not involved, and he is very involved, and I've got lots of good stories about him because I've been around him more recently than I have Bear, and I don't mind publicly saying the guy just scares me to death, and he always has to be such a big individual. He's really, really muscly and healthy, and his stamina is by far the best of anybody that I personally have ever trained with in my life. It was Troy Dorsey for a long time, but Abundio is like twice the size of Troy Dorsey, and I'll never forget the first time I had a fight. He was, I don't know, maybe going back 6 years now. We were taking kickboxing, and I laugh about it because I had to go to the bathroom, I know, 2 or 3 times, and I walked in to see him. When I get nervous, I got to go pee, and I'm sorry, but that's just me. So I saw him. I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's a Abundio. I cannot believe he's here. So I ran to the bathroom, came back. I was kind of stretching, had to go to the bathroom, but it was like probably 3 times because he's just, not that he hurts you, it's just he is so swinging strong and so fast, and you cannot affect him. And I don't know anybody still to this day that's my friend that stand up wise can keep up with his stamina. His stamina is unheard of. As a matter of fact, I'm inviting to come out to a program I have out in the country. We had probably 40 students out there, of which 15 were decently sized people that weighed 150 plus. And Abundio bows and probably went 2 to 3 minutes with each student without stopping. They would bow to him. He stayed out and continued for a good solid hour. And we were done, and they were beat. They were tired. And he's like, I mean, is that it? Not in a condescending way, just, is that it? I mean, that's it? I mean, what else you got? And we didn't have anything else for him. And, you know, you cannot mistake arrogance for confidence, and he is definitely the most confident martial artist I've ever met in my life, and I love him very much, and he's been a very good friend to me, and he trains the very, very top echelon in Tarrant, Dallas County. Without going in detail, if I told you the people he was training, you would know who they are. Because they're that powerful, and they go to him because he's the best, and that's why they go to him. If you want to get in shape, you definitely do the video, no doubt, no doubt.
Very cool, very cool. Sifu Bob, do you have any questions?
Yeah, Abundio, what classification or category did Master Cashin nominate you for this year?
The Black Belt Hall of Fame. I'm not sure which exactly category he nominated me for.
You know, I don't think any of them know because I don't think I told them. I think I just think I went under my ambassador deal, and that's part of when they get their deal. But I know that he has got. How many years have you got in this, Mr. Munoz? You've got.
Well, I started back in 78.
Yeah,
you know, I got my black belt mark 1982.
I think it was silver. Yeah, I think it was silver. And when y'all meet him, you'll see what I'm talking about. I mean, as of just yesterday, he did a bodybuilding competition, and he is just such a dedicated person to everything he does, and he puts more than 100%. I mean, he would be equivalent in my eyes of a Navy SEAL when it comes to training, because and he's trained some people that train with us. They're like, okay, we're not getting enough from you anymore. Where can we go? Because I only weigh 142. So obviously I can't pack a wallop like Mr. Munoz do. So I've sent several people to him, and they love him because you can hit him as hard as you want and he never gets mad. And even just when he barely hits you, you feel it. You feel it. And he's so wonderful in the sense that that very thing I was telling you about when I was really, really nervous, I gave him all I had. I mean, I was really fighting probably 70, if not 80%, and hitting him really, really hard, wasn't using a lot of control, hit him in the face a couple times, never, ever, ever affected him. And we were done. Instead of getting mad, instead of doing like a lot of people do and getting even, he just simply said very calmly, you didn't use a lot of control, and that won't happen again. And I'm like, yes, sir, yes, sir. And that's scary more than anything.
That was your warning.
and he's just blessed to have that ability not to get mad, because so many people that I've worked out with, when you get a good shot in, they do get mad, and mm-hmm. they immediately get aggressive and get even, and no one learns from that. So I learned that day that, I just learned a lot. I've learned a lot from him, and he taught me not to be afraid to get hit. Even though I'm very afraid to get hit by him, I was somewhat intimidated of very big people and would stay outside of the fight. And when I fought Mr. Munoz, it made me an inside fighter, and that's what I do now, and that's what I teach now. And it makes a major difference. We've got about close to 500 students in Mr. Bertelsen's program, and the majority of them are taught to be point fighters, and I'm more of a kickboxing type fighter, thanks to Mr. Abundio Munoz. So my hat's off to him.
Very cool, Sensei.
Very cool. And I just looked at the nominations list, and yes, it is confirmed, Silver Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah.
Very cool.
But now this June, Sifu, I want to get a picture of Abundio standing next to you.
Oh, no, he dwarfs me.
She's like 5'1".
We're not letting him talk much, but I want to just real quick, I've never been to a bodybuilding competition before, but they ask you to get in these certain poses, and then they ask you to go to a certain part of the stage and stand in what they're saying a relaxed position. But yet he didn't. He was in this pose where he's tensing up his entire body. I'm assuming as hard as he can to flex every muscle in his body. And I'm going to say it was close to 5 minutes. And I'm like, I just want to see how a person could do it, because I came home and got in the mirror and I'm trying to hold my pose. And I lasted about 15 seconds. I'm like, oh, this is terrible. So he truly is. When y'all see him, I'm telling you, you'll say, oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. And just imagine him having the knowledge of that kind of experience behind all that muscle. And it's not like he can't do jump, turn, back kicks. He can do all that stuff. I mean, he's very agile to be that big. So we can let him talk. I don't know why he's not talking.
I have a question for Abundio. Did the bodybuilding, did that come as a sort of a natural occurrence out of your interest in fitness training? Or
I think for I've been doing bodybuilding, I've done a show probably for the last 16 years. I've done a show once a year. And I think what's happened, at first I didn't think, I was still doing martial arts a whole lot and competing a whole lot on the circuit. But I think what happened after a while, I decided, I was getting to that age where, I can't afford to get hurt, but I still love the competition. So since I started doing that, I figured that I'd just keep on doing it where, it gave me something to shoot for, something to start, and I could, train for it with all the diet and all the weight training and all the posing. So, and there was an end to it. It was a goal that I would have to reach. It's like a big tournament coming up, and I would have to prepare myself without actually having to get, punched or kicked, you know, but I was still in competition with other people, which I think that that's what I kind of miss about the martial arts and the competition aspect of going to tournaments, you know, because I was very, very involved in tournaments, you know, everywhere. So I kind of miss that feeling and that stage presence and things like that. So I think that's one of the things that's kind of drawn me to the bodybuilding. It kind of gives me something to, you know, to self, you know, appreciate myself for doing something and competing in something that, you know, I have competition.
Very cool.
Can you kind of tell them what your daily food intake was? I mean, not necessarily calorie right. No, this is really, this tells you the discipline he had. Tell me what you'd put in a blender.
Well, for like the last I usually train about for 16 weeks for a bodybuilder show. You know, there's usually 6 to 8 meals a day. For the last 16 weeks, it's been 40 egg whites every morning, no matter what.
Whoa.
You know, so it's 20 egg whites, you know, when I get up, and then I do my cardio, and then it's 20 more egg whites after that with some, you know, molten meal, which is kind of like cream of wheat. And then you're talking about my next meal is probably like 16 ounces of turkey, brown turkey with 2 cups of vegetables. Then from there on out, you're looking at either 14 to 16 ounces of fish or more turkey with 2 cups of vegetables. And that's pretty much what I stayed on for the last 16 weeks. So today has kind of been one of those days where I've kind of had to wean myself off and kind of have to gradually grow back into it, because after my last bodybuilding show, you know, I gained 30 pounds in 1 week. I'm normally about 235. You know, so right, I weighed in at 208 on Friday. So, what happened last time, I gained so much weight so fast that my knees and my elbows are hurting me. So this time I told myself I have to gradually kind of build back up into it, not eat. Even my regular food on a daily basis is pretty good. I would say, you know, better than the average person. But it's just when you don't consume a lot of sodium in your body, and all of a sudden that sodium gets back in your body, it holds on to every single thing you take in. So that's the sodium part, you know. So in most foods that you go out to eat have a lot of sodium in it, so that's why you have to really be careful.
Yeah, I'm going to have to think about that next time I go to a restaurant, now that you mention it.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's discipline right there. I mean, that's some serious discipline, because, you know, if we were to ask any other, you know, martial artist, hey, what'd you have for dinner today? Most likely it's going to have a ton of sodium in it. And, yeah, like I think it was like last month I did a health news story about surprising things that had like tons of sodium in it. And I was really surprised at stuff that you can get just at the grocery store that has that much sodium in it. And I was like, are you serious? You know, so to hear about the discipline that it would take for bodybuilders and athletes, other athletes, to be able to discipline their diet like that and stay away from the sodium and stay away from the junk, my hat's off to you guys, because it's hard for a lot of us. I mean, you know, I love my bacon.
it is hard, but I think one of the things that's helped me, I mean, I started martial arts, you know, as a young person, and I think that through all those years, I mean, I had a great instructor and great, you know, people that were around my instructor, and so I learned. I mean, it wasn't like I got into martial arts when I was like 20, in my 20s. I was a kid still, so that's basically been my life, you know, to be disciplined about different things. So I think, believe it or not, I think I have to, you know, a lot of credit to my background in martial arts for having the discipline that I have, for being able to be bodybuilding, because people tell me all the time, like, I don't know how you do that. For 16 weeks every day, all day. I mean, we're talking every 2 to 3 hours eating. We're not talking like 3 meals a day. We're talking, you know, for the last 16 weeks. You know, and normally there's a few restaurants that I go eat around here, and I tell everybody, you know, hey, y'all won't see me for 16 weeks. You know, and it's true, you won't see me out for 16 weeks. So I have to say that the martial arts, that is one thing that is definitely, I think I get all that from. I also, you know, think that my dad was a really hard worker and real disciplined about a lot of stuff. He wasn't into the martial arts, but that was definitely, with that and the martial arts, definitely been a big plus in my life of how I things and look at things with the discipline behind it.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Very cool. Now, other than the website, is there a way for our listeners to contact you? Or are you on Facebook, Twitter, or anything else?
Yes,
like that?
No, I am on Facebook. You know, my business has a Facebook, and so they could contact me through there. We don't use Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if we have an account on that or not. Yes, we do have an account on that.
Mm, okay.
So they can contact me through Facebook, email, phone. This is my cell phone you're calling me on. I also have a business phone.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
You got to get the business number. What's the business number?
817-885-8900.
Got it.
This is the kind of test. I mean, this is why people go to him. Actually, I don't know why they go to him, because he's so tough in his regiment. But it makes you a champion. So I was blessed to be invited to a black belt test that he did. I want to say maybe 2 years ago. And the gentleman, how old is Mr. Blackman? 55, 54?
He's 58.
Wow. Okay, he's so 58. We're going to say, was he 56 when he tested for black?
He was about 56, yes, sir.
Okay, so how many fights would you think at 56 years old do you think that this man did? 2-minute rounds. I mean, I can tell you that in our regiment, or Grandmaster Burleson, we do 2-minute, 15 rounds, and then the last three are 2-on-1. So if you were to guess, we would call that an executive test, and they wouldn't have that many. And I want to say if it wasn't 22, it was 23 rounds that this guy fought for his black belt.
Wow.
And it's just, I mean, when you say you get your, in Fort Worth, Texas, there's a lot of wonderful, wonderful people, and I don't want to discount anything from any of them, but I can tell you that held in somewhat the highest regard is if you say you got your black belt from, you know, Grandmaster Munoz, that's, you just, it's got to be something like saying you got it from Chuck Norris back in the day, because he's just, he's the toughest, he's definitely the toughest in Fort Worth to get your black belt. Through, no doubt. So
right.
It's a blessing that he's joining our elite group, and it's an honor that he accepted and that he's my friend, and just thank the world of him. I can't wait for y'all to meet him.
We can't wait to meet
you
either.
We look forward to it.
Yeah, we look forward to it.
It'll be awesome. I'm excited also by coming down there. It would be a great little break for me, so I'm really looking forward to the whole event.
It'll be a blast. There's going to be like seminars and as well as the banquet, and it'll be really cool. So, well, we're going to have to take a very short PSA break, but thank you so much, Abundio, for joining us on Dynamic Dojo. Thank you again.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate your time, and I look forward to meeting all of y'all. Thank you, Mr. Cash, and I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Have a blessed evening, everybody. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
All righty, listeners, and that was Abundio Munoz of Abundio Studio, who he's slated to be inducted in the Silver Lifetime Achievement category at the Masters Hall of Fame, and that was also Jamie Cashin that was on the line with us, who nominated Mr. Munoz. All right, let's go ahead and just take a 30-second PSA break, and then we will try Mr. David Morizot again. We'll see if we can get a hold of him. So we'll be right back after this.
Okay, so 5 tacos of cheese and a large soda. That's $10,012. Please drive around.
Wait, 10,000 what?
It's obvious you're buzzed and driving.
I've only had a few. I'm fine.
Yeah, the food's $12, but getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Please drive around. Actually, just park and come in.
Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
All right, and we're back. Our phone number is 347-677-0699. Our next guest is hopefully going to be David Morizot, or Morizo. I think I'm saying his name wrong. I don't know. All right, 347-677-0699. That's our phone number. And let's dial Mr. Morizot again here and see if we can get him. Yeah, okay. And he is a film stunt coordinator.
Hello.
Hi, David. This is Restita calling from Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio. How are you?
Hey, Restita. Hey, Robert. How are you guys doing?
Good.
We're
David,
doing pretty good.
Sir?
I'm doing very good. Well, it's been great listening to you guys. Bear and Abundio really have they've taken up all the oxygen. I don't have anything to breathe.
You better step up your game.
I know. Boy, I better start doing some push-ups or something. I don't know.
You know, they're talking about how big this man is, and Sifu, when you meet this guy, I just want you to look at him and say, nice to meet you. Please don't eat me.
Yeah, I think I'm going to say that from across the room.
Yeah, Robert wants me to take a picture next to Abundio, and I'm like, oh, come on now. Now you guys are making fun of his size. Come on now.
No, we're making fun of your size.
Oh, gee. Oh, my goodness.
It's like if everybody in the room is laughing and you're not, guess who the joke is on.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Well, we tried to call you a little bit earlier, and for some reason I went to voicemail, so I was like, well.
Yeah, I know. That was very strange. It must have been shy or something, or got a case of the jibbies. I reached for the phone and it went to voicemail, and then I started listening again, and I decided it was better to listen to Abundio anyway. So.
Well, awesome. Well, now that we have you on the line, our phone number here, listeners, is 347-677-0699. I was wondering if you can tell our listeners a little bit about how you got started in martial arts and how you got interested in the film industry as a stunt person and a fight choreographer.
Well, when I was growing up, my grandfather was he was like a fighter pilot back in World War II, and he was also a judoka. And so when I was little, he was almost like a father figure when I was growing up, and he was always throwing me around the house, and it was a lot of fun. But, you know, never hurt me or anything, but always showed me who the man was. But then I always would love watching martial arts movies growing up, and I didn't get, you know, and we moved around a lot. My mom had the wanderlust, so to speak. That was back during the 60s and then, you know, 70s, back when everything was rather bohemian. And so wherever we moved someplace, I always would try to meet, you know, new kids in the neighborhood. And if anybody was training in martial arts, you know, try to learn something from them. And then when I was 13, we ended up in a small town, North Arkansas. And the only thing around there, I did find is that's when I started formal training in Taekwondo and with Sabam Nim, Jackie Hinchy, under Master Bob Blankenship, Chang Han style. And I stayed with that all the way through college, undergraduate school, and, you know, have a fourth degree in Taekwondo under Master Blankenship. And he still has me come out and teach black belts off the black belt camp on occasion. And then I, after undergraduate school, I graduated with a degree in speech and theater art. And then I went down to Universal Studios, a theme park down in Florida, and opened up Broadway Stunt Show. And while I was there, I opened up several shows, a Brick Show and a Ben Bad Show. And it was a lot of fun, you know, just learning from everybody that you meet and meeting other actors and other stunt people. And one of the first television shows I actually got onto was one that Pat Johnson was and Isaac Florentine. They were both co-directing, you know, different episodes, but it was a show called WMAC Masters. It was like a kids show for yeah, it was like supposed to be a cross between martial arts and a video game and, you know, WWE wrestling. It was a lot of fun, and you know,
that one where Shannon Lee was hosting, was it?
Oh yeah, it was. Shannon was there.
Oh,
and she was
okay.
Like the host, and it was a host song pack and Ho Young pack and Hakeem the Machine Alston and, you know, Richie Brandon, all those guys, you know, Chris Casamassa and Johnny Lee and Jamie Lee Webster, all those guys that were big on the tournament circuit back then. They were all the you know, it was kind of funny, though, because they were prearranged fights, and sometimes the, you know, all the guys they had, you know, karate studios, and their students would start calling up hey, how come you're losing all the time? Uh-oh. Yeah, because they have their own names. They're fighting under their own names. So, and then I, one of the first episodes, I actually played a role in opposite Ho Sung. I was a leader of a bad guy gang, you know. But it was a lot of fun, and that, you know, that was my first break into the stunt world, and ever since then, I've just been working on different shows. You know, stunts are a little bit different from acting. You have to network, and not that you don't network in acting, but you don't have an agent. You know, you have to meet coordinators, you have to meet producers, you have to get your name out there and go, you know, people have to actually see you and get to know you, and you have to have a good referral, hopefully, you know, to work. You can't just hire anybody, because then what happens if they hit the lead actor or something? So,
exactly.
And that puts a big damper on the day, so.
Right.
Yeah. That's true. Now,
it's
did
been
you
quite a ride.
Yeah, did you get into stunts through the martial arts, or were you curious about it and decided to pursue it?
You know, it's really strange. The stunt world, there are people that their families have been in the stunt business, and so you call that born in the business, and everyone else, you just say you kind of fell into the business, you know, pardon the pun. But
into the airbag.
Yeah, exactly. Martial arts has been my mainstay, you know, and in the business I've been training under Master Kenneth Edwards in Northern Eagle Claw Kung Fu and Wu Style Tai Chi, and his instructor I've been training with as well is Grandmaster Shum Leung up in New York, from Hong Kong, but you know, and it's just, but you become a mutt pretty quickly, because you got to know, you know, when someone says, I want to see this, you got to show something.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you
right.
train with whoever you can train with, whether it's a little bit of this, a little bit of Arnis, a little bit of Kempo, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But, you know, you don't want to tell anybody that you are something that you're not, but at the same time, someone says, can you do this? You go, well, I can do that. You know, so.
Exactly. My best friend is a stunt person.
Nice.
But she's in Texas right now doing something for Firebirds for a big play out in the Texas desert somewhere, I forget where, but she pretty much says the same thing. Is like, you know, it's not that, and she tells people that at stunt school the same thing, that it's not that we're gonna make you a wushu person or a karate person, but if someone says, can you do this?
There you go.
Can you fly? You say, yes, I can, and I can look like I'm doing wushu. All right, there you go.
what's her name?
Cheryl Johnson.
Cheryl Johnson, oh, okay. I know Cheryl Wheeler's in Texas right now. So I've worked with her a few times. And Dana He is in New Mexico,
right.
Former Taekwondo
yes,
black belt.
She's been working a lot on a lot of indies, but she recently was the stunt coordinator for Eden, and now she's working. She's trying to get stunts together for another film. She told me all about it, but I'm like, I can't remember everything she tells me. And
sure.
This will actually be her first big. You know, big movie. So she's really excited about it and stuff. But she's trying
right.
to do that on top of doing her stunts in Texas. So, yeah, she's got a phone. I'm sure you know how it is, a phone plastered to her ear.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Always. Without a cell phone. How did any of us do anything before cell phones and smartphones and everything else?
I was going to ask you
Internet,
the same thing.
Yeah. It was insane.
Yeah.
So, David, who nominated you this year for the Masters?
William Christopher Ford. He runs Kaizen's Dojo there in, I think, in Pasadena. I forget exactly where his school is. But he's, I think, Goju-Ru Sensei, and he's also an actor and a stunt person that he's, you know, it's always, whenever you meet another martial artist who can sell things good and they're a good actor, then there's always these roles that you... Producers and directors are always asking you, do you have somebody that can come in and read for this that can do the action part? Maybe we'll cast them, you know. So you always want to have a cadre of people. And I believe Sensei Ford was inducted into the Masters Hall of Fame last year for lifetime achievement. And he called me this year and said, hey, I'm going to put your name in on this. I'm like, well, okay, all I do is miss people, you know, on purpose, and duck and fall down and look like I'm getting shot and stuff. He's like, well, that's okay. I'm gonna put your name in anyway. Okay, well, thank you very much. And he's just a great guy. He's really, you know, like most martial artists, you know, very humble and really wants to, you know, regenerate his style, and but also, you know, is very, very respectful for everyone else. Just like any of us, you know, anyone that trains, they deserve respect.
Right.
You know, but there are so very few, really very few people, even though we all get together, it seems like it's everybody, but, you know, I think any country is lucky to have over 4% of the population actively train in any kind of martial arts. So, you know, I think that that's, you know, like my instructor growing up used to say, hey, if you're out there doing it, then you're already head and shoulders above everybody else who's just watching.
Yep.
And it has really served me well. You know, I've received, you know, my fights have been parts of Stunt Emmy Awards. You know, on Alias, one of our fights, one of our stunt coordinator won a Stunt Emmy, you know, Best Stunt Coordination Emmy on that show. And then on Chuck, I was on all five seasons of that television show, Action Comedy, with some fights and stuff. And, you know, we won twice on that, and each one of those had an integral fight in it. You know, because a fight really is, you know, like physical dialogue. You have to take a lot of things into account. You know, whether, you know, what kind of history the character has, what's happened in the film or in the episode, and, you know, what is the meaning of this fight? It's not just somebody throwing a bunch of things. You know, they're trying to get someplace, you know, in the story with it. So, you know, and it has to have a lot of permutations. You know, producers and directors and actors, they all have a lot of input into it, and everyone generally is happy until someone else has a new idea. So, yeah, have to be flexible.
Now, your credits are amazing. You were the assistant fight coordinator for The Last Airbender.
Last Airbender, yeah.
I
met with Noah and gave him his first camera fighting lesson. Noah Ringer, the lightning struck him, and he got The Last Airbender out of nowhere. It was really, he's a really good guy. He's from the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Now, we just call this the Texas night tonight, so.
Yeah. Right. That's right.
And I was training all the actors and a lot of the stunt people too. I mean, we have a lot of talented fighters on all the shows, but whenever something is so style oriented, such as Last Airbender, you know, when it's really needs to look wushu or kung fu, you know, Sun Nuo is our wushu, you know, coach, and you know, a lot of the hard style martial artists, karate guys, they didn't necessarily know how to bend everything around a little bit, and you make it more circular for the kung fu and the wushu. So, you know, they all run into me. How do you do this? I'm not used to it. But it was fun.
Awesome.
You know, it's always fun. That's the nice thing about projects. You learn something and you keep going forward. You know.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now,
and
looks
this
like
year, David, we're having a. You know, we're having 10 seminars this year at the Masters, and the last seminar on Friday night happens to be by Joe Ordaz, and I think I'm pronouncing that right, O-R-D-A-Z, and he's doing Introduction to Fight Choreography.
Nice. Excellent.
Very cool.
He's done quite a bit of fight choreography, so that's a good, he's a guy to plug in for that, so.
That's great. So when are you coming in, though, for it? Are you coming in Friday night, Thursday, Saturday?
I'm not sure. I still, you know, I'm out in Atlanta right now working on an action comedy with Damon Wayans Jr. and Jake Johnson in it. And I'm doing some fight choreography plus helping cover set because the coordinator has a few other obligations. But, so it, you know how it is in entertainment. You're always looking for your next gig. So, you know, I've got my ticket paid for, and you know, I'm ready to get back to Burbank and get down to the awards. But I'm not exactly sure exactly when I'm coming into town. But
it'd
be great.
To Burbank?
I usually fly into Burbank because that's where my, you know, the house that I rent is. So.
Well, I live in Burbank. Maybe we can hook up before the dinner.
Oh, okay, nice. Very nice.
Very cool.
Sifu Rusty's coming down. She'll be here on Wednesday, and maybe we'll hook up while you're here.
Here, we can find a stepladder so we can take pictures with, you know, a bunch of
you guys. Oh, my gosh. Now, I have to ask about this now that I'm actually reading about your special skills. You do bullwhip. So do I.
Yes.
Have you studied with Anthony DeLongis?
I know Anthony really well. He's another one of those people that's a really good actor. He's a great martial artist. Great with a bullwhip. He's good stunt. You know, I wouldn't call him a stunt guy because I think of him as an actor. You know, I've seen him in films. You know, one of my favorite films that he did back in the day when I was in college, you know, undergraduate school, was Roadhouse. He played one of the heavies, Patrick Swayze.
Wow.
I love. You know, every time I see Anthony, I love asking him questions, and he's always like, "Come out to the ranch. You know, let's do some stuff." But schedules don't. They don't align. And he's always winning knife throwing and hatchet throwing competitions. He's a great fencer as well. You know, traditional Spanish fencing and things. He's just an all around great guy.
Awesome. Yeah. I had to.
But I'm not up to his level. I could probably polish his whip, maybe. You know. I don't know if he'd actually let me touch it. You know, I might put some negative energy into it.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, I just had to ask because I saw bullwhip and I was like, oh, very cool. I love the bullwhip.
It's fun. Yeah.
It is.
Well, what length do you like to use?
I mainly use a six. But, if I want to do, wraps and stuff like that, I'm only 5'1".
Yeah, 6 foot, that's like me using an 8 foot whip.
Yeah, yeah. A friend of mine brought to one of our practices a 12 foot whip. He was like, here, check this out, Restita. And I was like, uh-huh.
Add up.
Yeah, that was interesting. I was like, oh, Karen, it's your girl, David Morgan, 12 foot whip, this is heavy. Yeah, and needless to say, that didn't work too well for me for a 12-foot whip.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was really cool to see that on your special skill set. On
The nice thing about the bull whip is you know when you're doing it wrong.
Exactly.
It tells you. Yes.
Exactly.
It comes back and bites you.
It comes
back
and bites
you. You pay the price.
Exactly. Awesome. Oh, my goodness. Well, we could talk to you like all day about Taekwondo, Kung Fu, Tai Chi, bullwhips, fencing and stuff like that. But we're running short on time. And oh, my goodness, I just looked at the clock and I went, oh, criminy, no. So maybe in the future, I do plan on having a show about stunts and the martial arts, how they relate, and the business, that kind of thing. I plan on having my friend Cheryl on, and if possible, I'd like to have you on as well, and a couple of other stunt people, and have a rap session, because I personally have very limited exposure to stunts. I was only teaching the stunt school here in Seattle, basically just the basics of wushu, so that way they could look like wushu, whereas Cheryl would teach them how to fight with it. So I've got very limited exposure, so it'd be really great to have a show about that and talk with you guys about stuff like that. I think that'd be great.
Absolutely.
Well, either me or my voicemail will be available. So.
Okay.
Sifu, do you still have the spreadsheet available? See what David got nominated for this year.
He was nominated for the Pioneer.
The Posthumous Pioneer Award.
Yeah, you are nominated for the Pioneer Award.
Very
awesome.
Cool.
Very cool.
That means I have to be in a canoe, you know, going up rivers and looking at things, so.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, and I'm sorry that we called you so late.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. Heck, I was enjoying listening to Bear and Abundio, so
yeah.
I didn't say, now I got to be on. I'm going to bore myself.
No,
But the nice thing about martial arts is that everyone is always so nice and polite and no ego. And like my grandpa used to tell me when I was little, you know, martial arts is about making the inside bigger than the outside. So, you know,
oh, that's
anytime.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Now, David, remember, keep in touch with us if you're coming out early or something. We'll be dinner or something since I'm really close to the North Hollywood side of Burbank.
Okay, great. Nice.
Yeah,
well,
that'd be
very
great.
Much.
Alrighty. Well, we look forward to meeting you next month.
Absolutely.
You bet.
Look forward to meeting
you
guys, too. Have a great evening.
You too.
You too.
Bye-bye now.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Wow. And that was David Morazot. And I still didn't ask him if I said his name right.
Right.
Anyhow. Oh, my goodness. What a great show.
What a show. Wow.
Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful show. And stay tuned. Next week, we hope to have Ramilio Olivieri, Paul Sandoz, Mario Schaap, and Charles Shepard on our show. It would help if I actually contacted them. Well, one of them knows that they're on.
Yes.
So we'll see everybody next week. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to y'all next time. Bye-bye.